please let me know. We're always looking for people to get involved. So talk to me. We'd love to have you do that. And thank you so much again for that test. Looking forward to someone else next week. And then we got an open schedule after that. So got lots of openings headed into 2021 for those specials. Well, this evening I'm excited to open up the book of Proverbs. If you can go ahead and turn there with me, we're going to be doing like a survey throughout the entire book. We're not going to look at every verse. We'd be here for quite a while if we were doing that. We're going to be looking at the topic, though, of the four types of men in Proverbs, coming directly off of Proverbs 1 and looking at verse 22. Some lessons that we can gain from that, but this was a lesson that I heard when I was in, I think I was in junior high at a camp that talked through these four different types of men that we see in this passage, and it was very impactful to me, and I hope it's encouraging and challenging to you tonight. Proverbs, we understand, is a book we know of wisdom. There's a lot of different proverbs within the book of Proverbs, wise sayings and things that we can learn and apply to our life that are very applicable to each and every life situation that we have. When we get in this section here, we start off Proverbs, and the very first verse, the Proverbs was Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So written by Solomon. Later on, we have some Proverbs of some other authors as well. But as Solomon starts this off, as he's writing to his son, is who he's addressing it to, he gets directly into the topic in verse 5 about how a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Really, you can wrap up the entire book of Proverbs into that verse, into what the subject is going to be and what the main emphasis is going to be as we get into that. But I want to go ahead and look at the appeal of wisdom, beginning in verse 20. In verses 10 through 19, Solomon specifically is addressing his son as he's writing there and warning him about sinners, warning him about people that are going to entice him, that are going to be tempting him to do things that go against what God's will is for him, that go against wisdom. Then in verse 20, we see wisdom is personified here. There's a lot of personification all throughout Proverbs that's really applying human attributes to something that is an inanimate object or being or saying or something like that. And so wisdom is personified here beginning in verse 20, and we're going to read through verse 33. It says this, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." See, we're going to look at the four men of Proverbs, the simple man, the scornful man, the scorner, the foolish man, and then lastly, the wise man. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the short time that we're going to be able to spend in your word tonight. As we look at this book of Proverbs, I pray each one of us would be able to look at our life and see if maybe there's some of these characteristics of either the simple man, the scorner, or the foolish man that would describe us. And I pray if we see that to be the case, you would give us a desire to change it, that we would desire wisdom, we would desire to be shown as a wise man. Lord, I pray you give us a desire to be in your word, to learn more about how we are to grow in you. And tonight as we do that, give me clarity as I speak. I pray that you would strengthen me as I repeat the words that you have here and we draw application from it. Thank you, Lord, that we have these truths to look at, that we can gather together tonight to learn from you, to learn from your word. Pray that everything that is said and done tonight would be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have Proverbs 1 here as we start off. And we see that wisdom is essentially saying that she is, in the personification, that wisdom is readily available to instruct. Anybody here ever felt like, well, I wish that I would have known that this was the case, and I suffered the consequences because I didn't know something? Maybe you have been going through a town, and you've been pulled over for speeding, and you're like, I did not know that I was speeding. The very first speeding ticket that I got, actually the only ticket I've actually ever received, I was going to college. I was driving at night. I'd been with my family. And there's this park, this state park that you drive by, and it's down at the bottom of this little hill. Well, around here it would be a little bump in the road, but in Illinois it's a hill. And I was going down it, and the speed limit goes from 55 to 45 right at the top of the hill until you get back up to the other side of it because the park entrance is at the bottom. And I had my crew set at like 55, 56, something like that, right on it. But as I went down the hill, I didn't notice and I didn't remember that the speed limit was there. And so as soon as I hit the top of the hill, I just accelerated naturally as the momentum carried me down. And it went up to like 62 or something, which 62 and a 55 is not the end of the world. 62 and a 45 is normally frowned upon. And so as I got down to the bottom of the hill, I even saw the county guy sitting right there. And I almost waved at him, but I was like, well, he probably can't see me because it's dark out. Just went right by him. And I was driving my 1996 Chevy Impala SS, which usually drew some attention. And as I go up the hill, I notice all of a sudden, right behind me, is this car with the flashing lights. I was like, man, I must have a taillight out or something. I don't know what the deal is. He pulls me over. He comes right up, and he says, do you know how fast you were going? I always hate that question. I'm like, yes, I believe I was going right a little above 60. I know it kind of accelerated a little bit the hill. He goes, you know it's a 45 there, right? And I was like, I remember that now. That is something that I am being reminded of at this very moment. And so I got a ticket for that, and I had to go to a driver's school in Illinois. I'm actually sure how it works here in Washington. In Illinois, to get it taken off my record, I had to go to a six-hour driver's school where you're made to feel kind of silly, actually. Had to learn how to enter a four-way stop and how to pull over, how to parallel park. I learned a lot of useful information that I had just learned 2 years before when I passed the test. But I felt kind of silly because I knew it, but I didn't know it. It would have been useful information if I would have been reminded of it. Many times, though, in our life, we go about the things that we normally do without showing wisdom. And sometimes we like to use the excuse, well, you know, I would have done better in this situation. I would have shown wisdom if I would have known that I could have had that wisdom. That wisdom was readily available to me. Well, in the spiritual sense, wisdom is readily available to us. In Proverbs 1 here, as Solomon is writing this and he's personifying wisdom, is out in the streets crying, I will instruct whoever is able to receive it. We need to understand that wisdom is readily available to us. We do not have to go far to receive that instruction, to understand what is right and what is wrong. But what we really see as we get into verse 22 is wisdom calls out three types of people very specifically. So in verse 22 makes this statement, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The first group is the simple ones. Now we're going to work through the book of Proverbs, each one of these three, finish with the wise man to kind of see some compare and contrast the differences. But the simple ones, she's calling them out and saying, how long are you going to continue in your simplicity? That's that first group. The second one in verse 22, and the scorners delight in their scorning. And then the third group, and fools hate knowledge. The little thing right at the end there in verse 23 that is tagged right with that we need to make sure we highlight is wisdom says, churn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. She's making an appeal to the simple ones, to the scorners, to the foolish ones. If you will come and you will listen, I make wisdom readily available to you. I will instruct you. You know, what it tells me is that when I in my life begin to portray these characteristics that we're going to look at in a moment of the simple one or the scorner or the fool, hopefully that doesn't happen, but when that does, I need to realize that immediately, and I need to seek wisdom, I need to get that instruction, to gain that knowledge, so that I can be characterized as a wise man and not one of those other three. But it's not as if wisdom is hiding somewhere and we have to look for it. Like, where did wisdom go? Anybody seen wisdom today? I haven't run into her. I would really like some wisdom today. I guess I'm not going to get any. No, the idea that Psalm is getting across here is that wisdom is readily available. So let's look at these three types of people. And what I would ask of you this evening, as we're looking through Proverbs, we're going to stay in Proverbs for all but one verse tonight because it's the context of this study. Understand that each one of these can describe us to a point. I would hope, though, as Christians, we would consider that if our lives are being portrayed as simple, as a scorner, or as a fool, we need to do some serious checking in our lives. Because there is going to be such a stark contrast between the simple man, the scorner, and the foolish man, and the wise man, it should be night and day to us. Hopefully, we are not trying to blend in some of those characteristics. We're like, well, I'm okay with a couple of these, as long as I'm mainly wise. No, the idea is there should be a huge difference. So consider these characteristics as we look at this. Pray and ask the Lord to help you to see, is there anything that would characterize you as one of these three? And if so, don't leave here tonight without asking Him to help you to change that, to be characterized as a wise person. So we get, first of all, to the simple man. Okay, the simple man is mentioned 14 times in Proverbs. And we are not going to look at every single one of these instances tonight, but we're going to be turning through the book of Proverbs, so have your fingers ready to go. We look, first of all, in Proverbs 7, verse 7. We see the characteristic of the simple man mentioned here is that he lacks understanding. Proverbs 7, verse 7 says this, "And behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." Now, I understand in Proverbs 7, the context of the passage here, as we're talking about the temptation to be immoral. The simple youth that is just one that is out there, doesn't really have a care or concern, doesn't have an understanding or an awareness, doesn't have the street smarts, you would say, of what is taking place around them. A simple person is one that just goes about life, doesn't have understanding either because they haven't sought it out or they just haven't seen a need to have understanding. They're just caring about their life, doing whatever they want. In this context, in Proverbs 7 here, as they're looking out from the house and sees all these young people that are just void of understanding and they're about to be led into temptation, and if they give in to that temptation to sin immorally, it begins with the fact that they are simple in their understanding, which really they don't have understanding. The next characteristic of a simple man we see in Proverbs 9, verse 13. This one specifically is referring to the foolish woman or the simple woman. And once again, when the Proverbs uses the terms man and woman, it's not just talking about men. I'm not trying to just single out men tonight. I think sometimes we need to very specifically be aware of this, but so do women. We all are being described in this category. So when it uses the terms here, it's referring in both directions. But verse 13 in chapter 9 says, "A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing." The language being used there, a simple and knowing nothing, is tied directly together there. So it goes right along with lacking understanding. To put it very simply, they know nothing. They don't have that instruction. They're not seeking it out, but they haven't even had that foundation to begin with. They have no understanding. They have absolutely no wisdom. They have no understanding. They know nothing at all. Pretty sad description so far. We see in chapter 14 and verse 15. Proverbs 15, it says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." When it says the simple believeth every word, the description I have up here is someone that is gullible. Now, when a child is gullible, it's a little different, because I think as children, we're all gullible to a degree. And that happens because we, as children, place our trust in the people that are older than us, and we like to assume that what they're telling us is right. It is very easy to convince my daughter of something right now. Each day it gets a little harder, though. She's beginning to think a little too critically. But it is very easy to convince her of things because she trusts me. I have to be careful I don't break that trust and have too much fun with her gullibleness because I want her to trust me. But when you have little children, it's easy to do that. I remember as a camp counselor, I was actually talking about this verse, and some of them were not understanding what gullible was. And so I told my little junior campers, a bunch of third through sixth graders, that if you said the word gullible really, really slow, it sounded like pizza. And so for the next day or so, they were all walking around going, gullible. They're like, Mr. Caleb, I don't think it sounds like pizza. I was like, just keep trying. You'll get it eventually. I would hope, though, as adults, as Christians, that we are not described as gullible. You think about it in a more serious sense, beyond being a child, are you just believing anything that comes at you? Are you accepting anything for fact that is presented to you, and you just don't even take the time to consider the source or compare it to Scripture? Especially in this day and age where we have technology at our fingertips, where we're available to get news at any time, from anywhere, are we taking time to show discernment? Or are we being gullible? Are we being as the simple person, and we're just going about our life, well, I've heard something good from them before, so I'm just going to accept it as fact right now. I would hope that we as Christians would not be described as gullible, would not be described as the simple man is here. The next one we see a couple verses after this in verse 18. We see how they are surrounded by foolishness. It really just follows them. So verse 18 says here, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. When it means inherit folly, that means that they don't have to do anything to have it around them. It just seems to follow them around. When you're a simple person, you have this folly or foolishness that is consistently around you. If you're someone that is characterized by being simple-minded and you constantly are having things bad happen around you, it's because you're going about your life simply. You're just not really considering things. You lack that knowledge. You lack the understanding. You're gullible. You constantly have things happening around you because you are a simple person. What Proverbs are trying to point out here, and most of the Proverbs are going to compare and contrast, the simple are inheriting folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Instead of having a lack of awareness of the situation, a wise person, a prudent person, is going to understand what's taking place around them. The next one we see in chapter 19, verse 25, and then chapter 21, verse 11, that the simple man has the ability to learn from others' experience. This is a positive thing. This is something that we need to remember if we are trying to display the characteristics of a wise person. Remember that there are people around us that are simple. There is hope for them. So look with me in chapter 19 and verse 25. It says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. If you correct the scorner, correct someone that, we're going to look at the characteristics in just a moment, correct someone that is verbally throwing things back, that is mocking, that is making fun of, or making light of instruction, if you do that, the simple one will understand and will learn from that. They don't have understanding, they don't have knowledge, they don't get things, but if they see someone that is corrected firmly and correctly, they acknowledge that, and they remember that. And that should help us to make sure we are taking advantage of opportunities to correct someone that would be described as a scorner, as we're going to look at in just a moment. Then also look in chapter 21 and verse 11. Same idea, kind of rephrased here. It says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So the same idea again, when the scorner is corrected, when they are punished for what they are doing, the simple man is made wise. They gain knowledge. Remember, the whole characteristic we looked at the beginning is they don't have knowledge. They don't have instruction. They don't have this understanding. But if a wise man corrects the foolish man or the scornful man, then they learn from that. The simple sees that, and they kind of are like, whoa, I don't think I want to have that happen to me. Maybe I shouldn't do that. There is hope for the simple man. The simple man can receive this knowledge, and they see it from others' experience. We also see in chapter 22, verse 3, and then chapter 27, verse 12, though, that typically they end up ignoring it, though. There is hope. They do learn from it, and they do store it away. But more often than not, they will end up ignoring it. Chapter 22 and verse 3 says this: "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The idea here is that someone who is smart, that is showing wisdom, will be going along life's journey. They see some evil in front of them, and they avoid that. They don't want to encounter that. They are going to hide away from that. They're going to avoid that evil at all costs. But the simple man is going along, and maybe they see from somebody else ahead of them that they have been harmed by whatever is taking place, or they have heard that there's danger up ahead, and they just continue to go right along. Are we living our lives ignoring the dangers around us? Are we going throughout our lives where we hear from others that don't go to that place or don't be around this person because they'll negatively influence you? Or this type of entertainment or this thing over here, there's dangers there. Are we just ignoring that, and are we being as a simple man and we're just passing on and allowing it to influence us and ultimately destroy us? The warning here is that the simple pass on, and therefore they are punished. They receive destruction because of that. Look also at chapter 27 and verse 12. Chapter 27, verse 12 says this: "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Now, you may be like, that sounds very familiar. Proverbs does this occasionally, where it will repeat almost exactly the same phrase in a different setting to try to get a point across. You think that the writer of Proverbs here is trying to explain to us how important it is that we are not described as the simple man, that we learn from what is happening around us, that we see danger and we avoid it? How silly is it when we look back in our lives and we see something that we have done to ourselves ultimately because we ignored warning signs around us? Because we have just gone about our life. Yeah, we saw a friend that went and did the exact same thing, and they had something really bad happen to them, and they fell into great sin, and they were tempted in many ways. But you know what? I'm stronger than them. I can handle this. We go down the same road, and the exact same thing happens to us. Folks, as soon as we think that we are able to, in our own strength, not be as a simple man, we're showing ourselves to be the simple man. We're showing ourselves to have not learned from the experience of others, to have ignored the warning signs, and just to continue along. Let us not be as the simple man. Let's not show a lack of understanding. Let's not show a lack of wisdom and just the idea that we don't know anything. Let's not be gullible. Let's not do any of these things that would describe us as a simple man, because we are called to show wisdom. We're going to get to the wise man in just a moment. The next person that we see is the scorner. The second person mentioned in Proverbs 1:22 in the warning by wisdom there, warning against being simple, the second group there is the scorner. The scorner is mentioned 13 times in Proverbs as well. See, it mentioned many times. There's some key characteristics of the scorner that set them apart from the simple man. The simple man lacks an understanding, doesn't have a knowledge of the situation. Is all those things we just looked at, what's the difference with the scorner here? The scorner, first of all, look in chapter 9, verses 7 through 8, that they rebuff and they hate correction. Whereas the simple man will receive the correction, but they don't always listen to it because they're just like, well, they're la-di-da, whatever, I don't care what happens. The scorner, very specifically, when they are begun to be corrected and they have someone trying to instruct them, they cannot stand that. Verses 7 through 8 of chapter 9 say this: "He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." The idea being, if you go and you reprove, you correct, you show someone the error of their ways, and they are a scorner, they're going to reject that. They're going to mock that. They're going beyond the level of the simple man to where really what they're showing is they do have an understanding of the situation. They don't lack the knowledge. They have the knowledge there. They actually have embraced the sin that they are in. They have embraced the position they're in, and they're mocking righteousness. They've gotten to the point where they have become so hardened, and they're no longer just like confused about the situation. They know what they're doing, and they're rebuking those. They hate those that try to correct them. If you've ever spent any time with people trying to point out things of righteousness and even doing it, hopefully, in a loving way, you will have encountered someone who is a scorner. Someone that anytime you present righteousness to them, they're going to throw it right back in your face. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They hate those that correct them. Because really they're being told that what they're doing is wrong. They already know that, and they don't want to hear it. The scorner rebuffs and hates correction. Same idea, a little bit different though, in Proverbs 13, verse 1, we see the scorner ignores instruction. Proverbs 13, 1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." This goes beyond in the first verses we looked at there, where someone is specifically instructing someone and they hate the person that's doing it. In a general way, say in like a general setting like this, where I'm talking to you as a group, a scorner would be someone that, even if they happen to be here, they're sitting here and they're just completely ignoring any instruction. They're completely ignoring anything that is coming out of God's word because they don't have the time to hear it. Contrasted with the wise man, the wise son that hears his father's instruction, that listens to what is there, the scorner is going to just completely ignore it. Scorner is going to be someone that just kind of sits back with their arms folded and like, "Nah, it's not for me. I don't really need that. Doesn't apply to me. I don't want it. I don't want to hear anything about that." We already know that they hate correction. They're going to ignore instruction as well. The next one we see in Proverbs 15 in verse 12, that the scorner does not seek out or appreciate wisdom. It might be kind of obvious at this point, having looked at the first couple, but if they're going to reject instruction, it's pretty safe to say they're not going to seek out wisdom. Proverbs 15, 12 tells us that. "A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." First part of the verse is really restating what we've already looked at, that the scorner is not going to like the person trying to correct them. But even more than that, they're not going to seek out wisdom. They're not going to seek out help from those that can help them because they're very set in their ways. They're locked in. They're so beyond that simple man's position, they're scorning wisdom. The next description we see of the scorner in Proverbs 21, 24 is that they are proud and haughty. They're not someone that just sits on the sidelines and you don't know their position. You don't know where they stand. No, you're very much aware of where the scorner is at. You know what they think. You know their position and their thoughts towards righteousness. And we see that described here in 21, 24. It says, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." Proud wrath gives the idea of someone that is very much out there just spreading all these lies, that is dealing all of this turmoil around them. Everyone knows who the scorner is. They're not someone that's just hiding away. They are proud and haughty about their position. Now lastly, I want you to see in 22:10 that chaos follows him. 22:10 says, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." I'm thankful that no person is beyond the grace and mercy of God. I'm thankful that no one in this world is beyond the point of salvation of our Heavenly Father. Because, folks, it's easy to look at the scorner here and see all these descriptions and see how far gone they are. But if we consider in our lives, whether you were saved at the age of 4 or the age of 40, we can all consider where we were as sinners or where we most definitely could be today if we were still sinners. And God saved us. God sent his son to die for us. God sent his son to die for every single person in this world. But understand that when you have reached the point, and maybe you're witnessing to a scorner, you're witnessing to someone that is rejecting truth, that doesn't want anything to do with righteousness, that is completely throwing it back in your face, there may be a point where that person needs to be cast out. That person, if it's in a church setting, if it's in a group setting, or even just in an individual one-on-one setting, that you may need to remove yourself from them. What happens when you do that is that chaos, it says in verse 10 here, if you cast out the scorner, contention, that turmoil, that trouble shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. How many times have you been in a group setting where it just seems like everybody's always at each other's heels and everybody's upset and there's no cohesion? It's just something is off. And how many times does it boil down to one person that is just stirring up all of that strife there? That is causing all of the difficulty. And if that person is dealt with, ideally they're dealt with and they're correct and they receive that instruction and they are no longer a scorner, they're no longer simple and they become wise. But if it gets to the point where they're rejecting it, they're rebuking, they're seen as a scorner, they need to be cast out. You need to be remove yourself from them. And when that happens, all that turmoil, all that strife, all that trouble is removed from that situation. So we have the simple man. We have the one that is lacking knowledge, that doesn't have understanding, that just kind of goes about doing whatever comes naturally. We have the scorner, one that is very set in their ways, that understands that they are going against righteousness, and they're fine with that. The third person that we saw mentioned in Proverbs 1:22 is the foolish man. Now, the foolish man, in a broad sense, is dealt with very much in the book of Proverbs. In fact, it's mentioned 84 times in Proverbs. Now, Proverbs, we would know, and we talked about at the beginning, it is a book of wisdom. But how many times, many more times the foolish man is mentioned, kind of tells us that we learn about wisdom by doing the opposite of what the foolish man does. And how often the foolish man is dealt with and talked about and foolishness is discussed because maybe we're more familiar with that naturally. It's easier for us as humans to act foolishly. Because we don't have to think about it. We just do it. We're naturally foolish. We're naturally set in our own ways. So how do we understand the foolish man? We see several different characteristics. We're obviously not going to look at all 84 tonight, but it's several key ones we have here. First of all, easy to understand that the foolish man despises wisdom. All the way back in chapter 1 in verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Psalm is starting this off writing to his son, the fear of the Lord, understanding the Lord, having a respect of God, and desiring that relationship with him, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's where your understanding starts. That's how you begin to put on that wisdom. But a fool is someone that despises that. The fool doesn't want anything to do with wisdom. The fool doesn't want anything to do with instruction. They have gotten so far past the point of being a simple man and even a scorner. They're a fool. They're set in their ways. They despise wisdom. They despise that instruction. Next, we see in Proverbs 10 and verse 23 that the foolish man enjoys mischief, enjoys trouble. It says, "It is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." You know, I mentioned a second ago that it is natural for us in our unsaved state and any time really that we follow after the flesh to be foolish. You think about the unsaved people in the world that enjoy just getting into trouble, that enjoy being troublemakers, that going out and doing things that make no sense to us, they're acting foolishly. They're following after the flesh. Description of the foolish man we see very much here is that they enjoy the mischief. They're not even doing it just to do it. They actually really, really enjoy it because they don't see any reason to not do it. And if they do see a reason for it, they've rejected it. They've rejected that wisdom, and now they're set in their ways, and they enjoy what they're doing in mischief. The next description we see in chapter 12 and verse 16 is that the foolish man is easily triggered to anger. Chapter 12, verse 16, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." The language here, the idea being a fool's wrath is presently known, it means that you don't have to guess very long before you will find out this person's true colors. That as soon as something goes wrong for them, as soon as something is inconvenient for them, as soon as somebody does something that upsets them in a little bit, it becomes very apparent to everyone around them that they are a foolish man. That they follow after the flesh, that they want to do the things that are natural to them. And it's natural for us, if we are not following after the Spirit, to get angry. Because we feel justified, because, well, things are not going right for me. And it should be done according to how I want it to be done. And if we're following after the flesh, we're justified in that. But the foolish man is one that is easily angered, that is very quickly seen as being an angry person that cannot control that. The next description we see is that chapter 17 and verse 21, they're a constant headache to parents. Now this is, remember, a lot of these are written as, from a father to a son, father to his children. So I had that mindset there. But Proverbs 17 verse 21 says this, "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." You think about the relationship that a parent has with a child can cause the parent to have the most joy, more joy than anyone else in the world possibly could have. I had the opportunity to, my daughter Sophie fell asleep in my arms today, and she was sleeping with her hand across her face, and she just looked so cute. And I was like, there's no other cute thing in the world right now that I'd rather have in my arms holding there. It was just adorable. She caused me a lot of joy. And it's easy to right now because she can't talk, she can't do anything directly against me. A three-year-old has more potential to do that. But she looks so adorable. Last night we were putting our both daughters to bed. They're both asleep in their room. And we were just sitting there and we're just like, oh, this is just great. When they are sleeping, they are the perfect children. They just look amazing. But as my dad told me, they're just recharging their batteries. And we woke up this morning and they're ready to go again. But a child can cause a parent so much joy. On the flip side, though, a child can cause a parent a ton of heartache as well. Because in the right scenario, no one loves you more than your parents do. No one cares for you more. No one wants you to do better. No one wants you, in a Christian, if your parents are Christians, they don't want you to be described as a fool. They don't want you to be described as a simple man or as a scorner. But when a parent has a child that is a fool, it causes them heartache, causes them grief. It causes them a lot of difficulty in life because they have so much hope for them. They have so much joy when they do right, but there is no joy for the parent of a foolish person. The next description we see in chapter 26 and verse 11 is that a foolish man is a habitual sinner. Pastor Randy talked about this a little bit this morning, and I don't know if there's a verse in Scripture that is more gives more vivid of a description of someone returning to their sin than Proverbs 26:11, which says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." I remember how old I was when I first realized that that just wasn't like a imaginary scenario that was thrown out there to disgust us, that that is an actual thing. I got a dog when I was 8 years old, and it would return to its vomit. And I couldn't believe it when I first saw that happen. I was like, the Bible was right. A dog, I mean, I knew the Bible was right before that, but like that specific verse, I couldn't believe it. The dog literally went back and ate its vomit. I'm like, what? What is wrong with that thing? The picture that Proverbs is trying to get across here is that when we return to our sin, we are exactly the same as a dog that goes and eats what it just threw up. This is exactly what it looks like when we continue in our sin. And a foolish man is one that sins, and then immediately after that, you realize that it's a sin. And maybe you even show a little bit of sorrow, a little bit of grief, and might repent for a little bit, but then you return to that. That is the description of a fool. There's no better description we're going to see today of a fool is someone that continually returns to the sin over and over and over again. Remember the beginning, we talked about how there should be such a separation between a wise man and a foolish man. And all the verses that we see throughout Proverbs dealing with the foolish man, there should be nothing in our minds that want us to have anything to do with the person described in this verse. Someone that returns to their vomit, the dog that returns to their vomit is the same as that individual who sins, realizes it's a sin, and then returns to it again and again and again. Folks, let it not be said of us as Christians that we are returning to our sin again and again. The foolish man is a habitual sinner that has developed such a habit and such a manner of life where they continue in their sin. They've become desensitized to what they're doing. They're just going through the motions. They're just like that dog that returns to their vomit. It's a disgusting picture of that dog doing that, but it's even more disgusting when we continue in our sin. When we classify ourselves as a foolish man. And lastly here, we see the foolish man speaks without thinking. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. It says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." So many proverbs that are very simple and understanding and yet so hard to actually practice. And I love this one, and I hate this one at the same time, because it's so simple to read. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Like, yeah, I'll chuck that one away for next time where I'm tempted to say something I shouldn't. I'll just keep it in till afterwards. Boy, is that easier said than done. You get in that situation, somebody says something to you, and you want to just snap right back at them. As soon as those words leave your mouth, they are gone. You're not getting them back. The fool uttereth his mind immediately, doesn't consider it, doesn't think about the ramifications, doesn't think about what might happen if those words come out of your mouth. What might happen to those around you? What might happen to you? What is going to be the fallout from that? The fool just utters it out, doesn't care what happens. Or at least they don't care in the moment. A wise person, though, is going to consider, is going to take their time and think about it and hold in their thoughts. Folks, are we being described as a fool? Are we going throughout our life speaking without thinking? It's a whole other sermon we could do. We can look in, Paul talks about this as well. To consider our words, to be slow to speak. Therefore, we can be slow to wrath. There's so many different things that we need to do as a believer, as a wise person, and not be described as a foolish person. Folks, the first three, the simple man, the scorner, and the foolish man, there's nothing about them that should appeal to us, at least when they're up here on the screen. When it gets down to it on a day-to-day basis, are we giving in to those desires to be classified as them? What we should be seeking after is wisdom. And that's the last person, the man we see here discuss, is the wise man. Specifically, wisdom is dealt with all throughout the book of Proverbs. But the wise man specifically is dealt with 14 times by being called the wise man or the wise woman in Proverbs. Descriptions we see here is loves, listening, and learning. Going back to the beginning again, in chapter 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The idea being here that a wise man, someone who is wanting to learn, is seeking it. They're not always even just waiting for it to come to them. As soon as they hear instruction, they want it. It's the wise person is someone who wants to be at every Bible study if they can make it, that wants to be at church every time the doors are open, that wants to meet with people one-on-one and discuss things about the Bible, that is never content with the amount of Bible knowledge or knowledge they have of God because they know there's always more to learn. That wise man is seeking out that knowledge, is seeking out wisdom to grow in their understanding. The next description we see is that they appreciate rebuke. Proverbs 9, verse 8. It says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." What a concept. That if someone does something wrong, you go to them, and the proper way to do this, we see all throughout the New Testament, to go to them in love, to come alongside of them, as we've looked at in the past, to correct them. A wise man will respond by loving the person that does that, and then responding correctly. Remember how the scorner and how the foolish man, and at times the simple man, respond to correction? They despise it. They don't want that in their lives. They're set in what they're doing. They don't want to hear that they're wrong. A wise person, though, when it is pointed out by someone that cares for them and loves them, that they are doing something wrong, that there is an error in their ways, they love that person. They are thankful that this has been pointed out to them. They don't respond with, "Well, how dare you tell me that I am wrong?" No, see, when another believer comes to you, once again, in the right manner and in the right way, says, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that maybe you're not even aware of this, but did you know that this area in your life is taking place?" If it is true, it's factual, maybe they're missing something and that's why you come in the right manner in the first place, but if it is true and it hits home, you receive that rebuke. You are thankful for that person coming to you. And folks, that's really what a church is supposed to be able to do. We can go to one another. We can, in love, in that relationship that we have built with one another, we can point out these things. And the person giving it should be given it in love, and the person receiving it should give love back as well and show thankfulness for that. This is something that is difficult. We don't want to be rebuked. We want to assume that naturally we're always right. But maybe if you haven't been made aware of this yet, we're not always right. It hurts in the moment when someone comes to me and says, I just want to let you know that this wasn't right, or you said this wrong, or you did this wrong. In that moment, I don't want to hear that. But if I take a moment to consider, and I don't respond as we just looked at with the foolish man right away, if I take a moment to consider it, and it's true, hopefully I respond and I thank that person, and I learn from it. A wise man appreciates rebuke. Next, we see in chapter 14 and verse 16 that they run from evil. Remember the description of the simple man, the scorner, and the foolish man, how they are constantly surrounded by trouble, by sin, by foolishness? It's just, that's the group of people they're with. That's who they are. A wise man is going to run from evil when it is around them. Proverbs 14, 16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. The fear aspect of that means that from a distance, before it's even known to them, they don't want to be around evil at all. They don't want to be anywhere close to it. But all of a sudden, if they are placed in a situation where they're presented with evil, verse 16, the second part there, and departeth from evil. That means if they're fearing it, they don't want to be around it, but if they're presented with it, they depart from it. They don't associate it with it. The idea that the illustration I get in my mind is Joseph, where someone who was living rightly, that had the right desires, when he was presented with evil, when Potiphar's wife tempted him, when no one around would have known, other than God, he ran from that evil. He ran from that situation. Why? Because he was seeking after righteousness. He wanted to have wisdom in his life. He wanted to be described as a wise man, not as a foolish man. He ran from the evil that presented itself to him. Next description we see kind of counteracting the foolish man that we just looked at a moment ago. Chapter 15 and verse 20. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Remember how there can be pain associated with a foolish man or a scorner or a simple man? A wise man brings joy to his parents. A wise man brings joy to those that care for him, joy to those that want to see him do right. Instead of bringing heartache, instead of bringing no joy, there is joy brought to the life of those individuals. We also see that the wise man carefully considers his words before speaking. So looking back in Proverbs 29, verse 11, remember that foolish man doesn't think before he speaks. He just says whatever comes to his mind. The wise man considers his words. Proverbs 29:11 says this, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Are we taking time to do what the wise man does and keep it until afterwards, to think about what we're saying? Or are we just uttering all our mind as a foolish man does? A wise man considers, thinks about what is going to take place after he speaks. And considers, is it showing wisdom or is it showing foolishness? Folks, which man are you? Which description best describes you? I think as human beings, we're going to have times where we give in to our flesh and we act simple. We act like a scorner would. We act foolish. But folks, I pray that our desire is to be seen as a wise man, as a wise woman, as someone that is seeking after God in our lives. We have the call in Ephesians 5:15. To see then that you walk circumspectly, that you're walking carefully, that you're showing wisdom as you're going throughout your life. Not as fools, but as wise. Why are we to do this? As if we needed a reminder in this time? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Why should we care about acting wise? Why should we care if we're being described as a simple man or a foolish man or a scorner? Because we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. If we don't care, we act simple, we are going to be swept away by the world. We're going to be swept away by the evil that is all around us, that is very prevalent. We need to make sure that we are walking wisely. We are not acting as fools, but we're acting as wise men. And Proverbs 3:35 says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You reap what you sow. If we go through our life and we act foolishly, we act as a simple man, we act as a scorner, we have a reward. We receive shame. Those around us receive shame. But if we act wisely, we will inherit glory. Folks, I pray that we as Christians desire to act like a wise person, not as a fool. That we consider this wisdom that we see in Proverbs. We consider the, hopefully, the understanding of that stark contrast between foolishness and wisdom. And that we would decide right now, we're not going to have any part of foolishness in our life. And we're going to seek after wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for the book of Proverbs, for this quick overview we did tonight. I pray that you give each one of us a desire to live for you, that we would walk wisely each day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.